book of Acts. I know there for a while I was dealing with the home in Sunday school, and eventually we'll get back to that. But God's sent me in another direction the last couple weeks, just something He's laid on my heart. There hasn't been anything really specific that has triggered this other than that's what God told me to do. Amen. And so we're looking at this thing of tongues in the Bible. Tongues in the Bible. And the Bible, I believe, is very clear on the teaching. And I want to look at this thing a little bit more this morning. There's just a big misconception and confusion among churches and a lot of churches today on this thing of tongues. So I want to look at it some more. Before I get into that, I'm going to get back to dealing with the home and the family. I really am at some point, but I think God's kind of give us another direction here. And starting in February, which is here in a couple weeks, I'm gonna do a like a new Christian or basic Bible beliefs class for those that have just recently been saved or just recently got in church. And I'm gonna do, it's probably about a 10 to 12 week Bible study for new Christians. And if you've been in the church when we first started it, everybody went through it, because that's the first thing I did is I taught through that. But all the ones that have recently been saved or are new to the church that would like to be in that Sunday school class, we're going to do that starting in February. We're going to do it in the back. And if you've been saved since you've been here and haven't been through that, well, I'd really like you to be in on that class. It's going to be like a new Christian type class. And if you're thinking about praying about maybe joining the church, I'd like for you to go through that class and know what we believe about salvation and what the Bible says about it. It's a real simple thing. It's not real long. We'll go through it about 10 weeks or so and go through that. So you pray about that. Starting in February, we'll do that. And then Brother Heitch will be teaching the adult Sunday school class. And for all those that have already gone through it, you'll stay in his class, and he's going to continue teaching biblically why we're independent Baptists and what we believe. And those things are being recorded, so we can always go back and listen to them. But that's a never-ending study. Amen. You say, why do we believe what we believe? Well, I got 66 books here. You can go through, and every single one of them will point us and tell us why we believe what we believe. So he's going to continue that study. And then once we finish the New Christian Series thing, we'll kind of relook at it, see what God wants us to do. But we're going to start that here in a few weeks. And so if you've recently been saved or just been coming to the church and you want to go through that class, just let me know so I know how many we got, because I have handouts that I'll give you. And it's just a real simple class on salvation and what the Bible says about it. And I'd like for you to go through that if you're new or just recently been saved. And there's no shame in it. You say, well, I've been saved a long time, but there's some of that stuff I don't know. Well, now's a good time to start. Amen. It's never too late to start learning what the Bible has to say. And I did teach through it in great detail when we first started the church. So if you were here around that time, you've already been through it. And I'm just going to be covering the same thing. So, all right, Acts chapter number 2. Did anybody want a copy of my notes from last week? Anybody at all? All right, can you hand these out, Nick, for me, brother? If we need more, I'll get more. I only got 8 or 9, 10 here, but we can make more copies. If there's anybody that would like a copy of it from my notes from last week, just raise your hand. If there's a couple, we'll give it to the couple. And it's dealing with tongues in the Bible. And what we looked at last week was, what was the gift of tongues for? And we looked at what was the gift of tongues, what was the gift of tongues for, and what were the qualifications for speaking in tongues. And we looked at those last week. And just to give you just really quick, I know I'm going to run out of time very quickly this morning, so I'm going to start the study today, and I'm going to finish it next Sunday, and then we'll start the new Christian thing after that. The gift of tongues in the Bible was an ability for a man to speak in a foreign language that he had never spoken in before. He didn't take any classes on it, and he was able to speak in a language that somebody else was able to hear in their language. Be like me getting up. I can't speak Spanish. Amen. Except for si and siesta or whatever. I don't even know what all that means. But if I got up and I started speaking fluent Spanish and there were Spanish-speaking people in here, that was the gift of tongues. That's what they had. Okay, and so the gift of tongues, and we looked at all, do it again for the sake of time. It's on the paper if you just got it. The gift of tongues were for unbelieving Jews. It was a sign for unbelieving Jews. And you can go read the verses. I've got them there on the paper. We went over this in great detail. It's online. If you missed this class last week, it's on our website, and I encourage you to go listen to it if you weren't here last Sunday, because we went over all this. It was a sign for unbelieving Jews. And then there were qualifications given in the Bible for speaking in tongues. And it was, there had to be an unbelieving Jew present, there had to be an interpreter, and women were not allowed to do it. And that's very clear in the Bible. And most of the time, where things are in churches today, all three of those are broken. And it's not scriptural. And I know there's some people that say, well, I've experienced it, or I've seen it experience, I've been in places, and I'm not saying you didn't experience something, but I'm saying it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural for today. And it goes against God's word. And if it was the Holy Spirit, and it was something that was ordained of God, then God went against His word. Then God went against His word. And I'm telling you, God never goes against His word. And so it was not scriptural. And then we looked at 1 Corinthians 13:8. It's right there at the top of the paper. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, tongues will cease. And the reason why tongues cease is because God stopped dealing with the nation of Israel. He stopped dealing with them. He turned from the Jew to the Gentile. And when that happened, when God was through dealing with the nation of Israel, and He'll deal with them once again during the tribulation. If you're here on Wednesday nights, we're talking a little bit about that. He'll go back to dealing with them. But for right now, God's not dealing with the nation of Israel. That's why tongues are no longer in effect. The tongues were a sign for an unbelieving Jew. The Jews required a sign. We're going to look at some of that this morning. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Anytime you deal with a church or an individual that believes speaking in tongues is for the church today, they're immediately going to take you to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. This is their verses that they run to every time. And these verses were in effect at one time, but they are no longer in effect for the church today. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. But I want to look at this verse just for a few minutes, and like I said, we'll probably finish it up next week. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, and the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so what happened here in the book of Acts chapter 2, it was the day of Pentecost, and all these Jews are standing around. It's after the crucifixion of Christ. And these disciples and apostles are standing there, and God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they began to preach. And whenever they preached, every tongue and every nation and every different kind of people that were there, they heard them preach in their own language. That would be like me preaching in English, and if we had 10 different nationalities in here, all 10 of them heard it in their own language. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it not? If you were Hebrew or Arabic and Chinese or whatever, and I preached in English, but you heard it in your language. That was of God. That was the gift of tongues that God had given him. All right? So the Bible here says they were all filled. And the people that were filled were the apostles. God filled the apostles. The other people that were present did not speak in tongues. God gave it to individuals. For the unbelieving Jew, it wasn't the whole place. And a lot of times when you get in a church or something like that, you got multiple people speaking in tongues. And it's just chaos and out of control. But God gave it to them for the unbelieving Jews. It wasn't everybody. It wasn't the other people. It was just those apostles that were filled. All right, it said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That filling was a separate thing from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to get into that right now, but whenever you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, baptizes you into Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual baptism. That is a baptism that saves you. It's not the water baptism. The day that you come down, little Josh back there last Sunday came down to my office, and he kneeled down and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him, and the Holy Spirit was baptizing him right then. Baptize him into Jesus Christ. This filling of the Holy Spirit is something that was different. And a person today can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Preachers, Bible teachers, Sunday school. If you're a mother, if you're a father, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives you wisdom in those things. So a filling of the Holy Spirit is something you need. But this tongues, there was a reason behind it. They say tongues are a sign that you got saved. Tongues are a sign that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's not what tongues were for. Tongues were not for a sign that you got saved. They were not a sign for the fact that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues were a sign for an unbelieving Jew. And we went over all those verses. The Bible is very clear on that. And so there's a difference between a baptism and a filling of the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't have time to get into all those. And if anybody wants my notes on these, when we finish up, I'll go over them with you. All right, so the Holy Spirit goes through there and can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit, it is a work of God that He gives people. Let me see where I want to get down here so we can... All right, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, you don't have to turn there, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A child of God should be filled with the Spirit, but speaking in tongues is not a sign that you were filled with the Spirit. Now, God gave them that gift in the book of Acts so the unbelieving Jew can know that that was of God. That's why. It was a sign that was given to them. All right, something to take note of when we're going through here is... no one, when you go through the book of Acts, you can find the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to look at all these, but Acts 4:8, Acts 4:31, Acts 6:3, Acts 6:5, Acts 7:55, and Acts 13:52 are all passages where people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and not one of them in those passages spoke in tongues. Not one. Okay, so if the teaching that most churches have today is speaking in tongues is a sign that you were filled with the Holy Ghost, or a sign that you're saved, and that's supposed to happen, then why didn't it happen in these verses? There's a reason. Obviously, there wasn't any unbelieving Jews present that God wanted to talk to. There might not have been, you know, what the qualifications weren't being met, or whatever the case is, but there's only three times in the book of Acts that people spoke in tongues. That's it. You would think if you went to some of the churches that do it, the Pentecostal-type churches, that they, you know, that it was throughout the whole Bible. They were speaking in tongues. Every time you turn around, they're speaking in tongues. But that's not the case. There's only three times in the book of Acts, and every time there was an unbelieving Jew present, there was an interpreter present, and there were no women doing it. Because that's the qualifications God gave. It's all right there. All right? The purpose of the filling of the Holy Ghost is to give a person power to serve God. If you have a filling, the filling of the Holy Ghost, it's not to speak in tongues, but if God fills you with the Holy Spirit, it's to give you power to serve Him. That's why I said as a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you can't be the wife that you're supposed to be if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. If He's not giving you wisdom, if you're not teaching your children or taking care of your husband, a husband taking care of your family and your wife. And so we need that filling. All right, I'm skipping through some of this here because I want to get back to this thing of tongues. All right, so a teaching today that I believe is an error, a heretical teaching, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit are associated with tongues and the gift of tongues. The initial evidence, and this is what a lot of those churches teach, the initial evidence of being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's what they teach. If you read about the early preachers and men of God that were around before the charismatic church began, if you read any of that history in the early 1900s, there is no record of those men speaking in tongues until that Pentecostal church movement got started. So according to their teaching, those men were lost, which is, it's an absurd teaching. Tongues is not mentioned with being an evidence of the baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit in any of the verses that I gave you in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, only the 12 apostles spoke in tongues. Everybody else didn't speak in tongues. And you can go back and read it. It was only those 12 apostles. It wasn't everybody that got saved. It was only the 12 apostles. It wasn't everybody like they teach. If the evidence of Holy Spirit baptism is speaking in tongues, then only a select few of charismatic folks would be saved, because all the people and all the members that attend those churches do not speak in tongues. And so when you think about the teaching and what they teach, it's kind of an absurd teaching. All right, so look back here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And this is really what I want to get at. Began to speak with other tongues. So the charismatic church, in those type of churches, they were built from teachings where they took a verse like this and they took one verse and they ran with it and said, this is for everybody. They said, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then you should speak in tongues. And God will get the Spirit of God will give you utterance to speak in tongues. They don't pay attention to any of the verses around it. They don't pay attention to the qualifications for speaking in tongues. And they don't pay attention to the fact that this was only the apostles. It wasn't everybody that spoke in tongues. They teach that the gift of tongues is a language that the speaker himself does not understand, and only a person with the gift of interpretation can understand. And all these things that I'm teaching here and going over is things that you can find. If you look up their doctrine, some of these churches that speak in tongues and the teachings, all this is in their teaching. They teach that only the speaker himself does not understand what he's saying, and only interpreter can translate it. One of the things they teach is that the other tongues, because it says there in verse number 4, they began to speak with other tongues. They teach that that's the same thing that was going on in 1 Corinthians 14. All right, and so I want to compare some scripture here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14, but hold your place. 1 Corinthians 14 is the famous chapter in the Bible that deals with speaking in tongues. Paul is rebuking the Corinthian church for abusing tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The passages here in Acts 2 and the ones in 1 Corinthians 14 do not match up. They're not the same thing. The charismatic church teaches they're the same thing, but they're not. And I'll show you that. All right, so you got 1 Corinthians 14. Hold your place there, and you got Acts chapter 2. Let's compare some of these verses. Look at Acts chapter number 2, verse 6. Acts 2, 6. Is everybody there? All right, Acts 2, 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, all right, we're talking about these men being filled with the Holy Ghost and they're speaking with other tongues. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were speaking with other tongues. That means these men got up and they preached. They preached in their own language, and everybody heard it in their tongue. And if you go down there and read verse number 7 and go down through there all the way to verse number 12, you got the Persians, the Medes, the Elamites, and the Mesopotamians, the Judeans, and all those people. There's a large group of people that were there, and every one of those people heard the preacher preach in their own language. Now that is of God, amen? And God gave them that ability. That was the gift of tongues because they were unbelieving Jews. All right? And so that's what happened. The tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 were not understood. The tongues that were preached in Acts chapter 2, everybody there knew exactly what they were preaching. They heard it in their own language. You know, they were preaching about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And everybody there understood exactly what the preacher was saying because they heard it in their own language. It was an understood language. And 1 Corinthians 14, let's turn over there now. 1 Corinthians 14, what was going on there was not understood. There was nobody there present, understood what was going on. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, it's called an unknown tongue, because nobody knew what they were saying. And Paul is rebuking the church for it. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Y'all there? All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he that speaketh in a what? An unknown tongue. If it's unknown, what does that mean? That means nobody knows what they're saying. All right. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse number 4. He that speaketh a what? An unknown tongue edifieth who? He's not doing that for the benefit of people around. And the reason why Paul's writing this is because he's rebuking the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church had the gift of tongues. They had it. God gave it to them because there were a lot of unbelieving Jews that were present. So God gave them that gift so those unbelieving Jews would say, yes, this is of God, I'm going to listen. Because that's what tongues are for. Well, the Corinthian church was going around boasting and bragging on themselves saying, God gave me the gift of tongues. And they were just standing up blabbing off in tongues, and there was no unbelieving Jews. They were doing it to say, look at me. They were edifying themselves. Then he goes on in verse number 4, says, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So he was telling them, if you get up and you're speaking in tongues, you're just trying to say, look at me. I'm trying to edify myself. Look what God gave me. It's like any gift. If God gives you the ability to sing or to preach or to minister of any sort, and you do that to bring recognition upon yourself, that is abusing the gift that God gave you. These little girls and boys that come out of these churches, come out of good independent Baptist churches, they come from singing in the choir and playing the piano, and next thing you know, they take the gift that God gave them and they go off into Hollywood and sing. They're abusing the gift that God gave them. They were abusing the gift right here. All right? And it's an unknown tongue. Nobody knows what they're saying. It's not doing anybody any good. So you cannot compare. I'm going to give you a bunch more here. You cannot compare 1 Corinthians 14 with Acts 2 because it's two different things. Acts 2 was a known tongue. It just said other tongue. They're preaching another language. Everybody heard it in their own language. Acts 14, it's an unknown tongue. Nobody knows what's going on. All right, look at verse 13. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a what? Paul's still dealing with an unknown tongue. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in a what? An unknown tongue. Look at verse 19. Look what Paul says about this thing of tongues here. Verse 19. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in a what? In an unknown tongue. He's rebuking that church. He said, man, I'd rather get up and tell you five words, and if it'll help you to be a better Christian, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that nobody knows what I'm saying. If I got up this morning and I was preaching in Chinese, would it help anybody in here? Not one person in this room would get any help. It might be humorous to see me trying to speak Chinese. You might get some entertainment value out of it, but it's not going to help you spiritually. But if I get up here and speak in English, the language God gave me. Now, if we had somebody here that was Chinese and I had an interpreter and they were to interpret what I was saying to them sitting there, then it would help them. But if they came in here and I was preaching in my language and they didn't know English, it wouldn't help them one bit. So Paul's saying, man, I'd rather speak words that you understand that'll help you than 10,000 words in tongues. They were abusing the gift. All right, look at verse number 27. Verse number 27. If any man speak in what? An unknown tongue. Let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. He said, if you're going to get up and speak in tongues, this unknown tongue that nobody knows, make sure there's somebody there that knows it, and they can interpret. But then he goes on, and I gave you those qualifications in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 22. Let me get back over there myself. 1 Corinthians 14:22. All right. Wherefore, tongues are for a what? A sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that what? Believe not. The tongues were given as a sign for those that don't believe. Okay? Now look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I hope this is not confusing to anybody, and I don't set out to offend anybody, because I know I have people that I know in my family down through the years that have been in the Pentecostal movement and been had experiences with speaking in tongues. I've been in some of the services and I've seen what's happened. And I'm not saying what they experienced and what they saw was not real to them, but it wasn't of God. Because if it was, this Bible's a lie. And the Bible's not a lie. Amen? There is a spirit involved, and a lot of it's emotion. A lot of it is caught up in emotion. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:22. So we just read in 1 Corinthians 14, and 14:22, it said, tongues were for a sign, not to them that believe, but them that believe not. It's for unbelievers. All right, compare Scripture with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a what? Okay, so the Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a sign for the unbelieving. So if you put those two together and compare Scripture, what are tongues for? Tongues are for a sign for an unbelieving Jew. That's what they're there for. And they were misusing that in Corinthians. There's a difference between what was going on in Acts 2 and what was going on in 1 Corinthians. Now, the NIV, amen, that's the New International Version. And other Bibles, besides the King James, they do not use the word unknown in 1 Corinthians 14. That causes mass confusion because you're messing with Scripture. Anytime you mess with God's Word, it's going to cause confusion. And can I tell you that God is not the author of confusion? Not at all. But the NIV, which is probably the most prominent Bible outside of the King James version, that's not a Bible, the version that they came up with, does not use the word unknown. So if somebody's reading their Bible and studying through there, why would they not compare 1 Corinthians 14 with Acts 2? They don't use the same words. That causes heresy. It causes a problem with doctrine. The truth is that Acts 2 is showing us the real gift of tongues. Those apostles were preaching to unbelieving Jews. The Jews required a sign. What was happening in 1 Corinthians 14? They were abusing the gift that God gave them. And you can see that as you go through there. Paul's rebuking that church. Another Pentecostal teaching is that you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you do not get baptized with the Holy Ghost until you speak in tongues. So they say that whenever you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, which is true. Whenever somebody gets saved, they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. But they say you don't get baptized with the Holy Ghost until after you speak in tongues, which is not a true teaching. They're trying to say that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two different beings. That there's a Holy Spirit and a Holy Ghost, and they're two different. And they have to come up with this stuff to teach what they teach. Because if not, it just doesn't make any sense. All right, look at John chapter 7 with me. John chapter number 7. And a lot of the teaching that they have, you know, they'll come up with one verse, and they'll show you one verse. And then you'll tell them, well, can you show me any other verses? Well, what about this verse over here? And they don't know what to say. And then they'll just come up with a meaning for it. When the Bible says how we're supposed to study Scripture is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what the Bible teaches us, all right? Look at John chapter 7. So they teach the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two separate people. They have two separate works. And you get you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you do not get baptized by the Holy Ghost until you speak in tongues. And we're dealing with tongues, so I want to cover all this. All right, John chapter 7, verse number 39. All right, John chapter 7, verse number 39. Everyone there? All right, look what the Bible says here. This completely throws a monkey wrench in that teaching. But this spake he of the what? Which they believe on him should receive for the what? It just speaks of the same person in two different names right there, but it's talking about the same person. It's saying, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He's saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but I can't send you the Holy Spirit, and you can't receive the Holy Ghost because I haven't gone yet. He's using the same person and talking about him in the same verse, but he uses Spirit and Ghost. Talking about the same one. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 in one hand and Luke chapter 3 in the other hand. That's why whenever you study your Bible, you got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Matthew chapter 3. And the new Bibles, the NIV, the New King James Bible, even the New King James Bible makes doctrinal changes in your Bible. They say, well, it's still King James. Well, the New King James Bible changes the doctrine of God's Word. God said don't mess with it. He said don't take away from it, don't add to it, not a jot or a tittle. Don't change any of it. But the New King James, KJV 2000, you name it. There's all these different versions, and some of them are under the name of King James. But if it's a New King James, there's changes in it. And I can show you the changes that change the doctrine of God's Word when you look through there. All right, Matthew chapter number 3. You there? Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So Matthew said the Spirit of God came down, did it not? Look at Luke chapter 3. This is the same exact story, the same exact event, only Luke's writing about it instead of Matthew. Same thing. Look at Luke chapter 3. Matthew said the Spirit of God came down. The Holy Spirit came down on God, all right, on Christ. Now look at Luke chapter 3, the same story. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit. Does it say Spirit? No, it says ghost. So is the Bible wrong? It's the same. It's the same. I'm trying to get you. You see, it's the same person. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are the same person. They're not too different. They're the same one. Sometimes you use Holy Ghost. Sometimes you use Holy Spirit. It's the same exact story in the Bible, and you have two different. One in Matthew, one in Luke. One says the Spirit. One says the Ghost. They're the same thing. They're not different. Everyone that gets saved gets baptized with the Holy Ghost. The very moment that you knelt down and asked Jesus to come in your heart and save you, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, one and the same, baptized you into Jesus Christ when you got saved. It happens right then and there. It's not a progressive salvation in the fact that you don't receive the Holy Spirit and then it might be a year later when you finally receive the Holy Ghost. It's not two separate things. The very moment you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you, and he's in there. And at the very same exact moment that you got saved, you were baptized. You say, you're reading the book of Acts, and you find all these things about tongues. Tongues were a sign for the unbelieving Jew. They were necessary because the Jew required a sign. And I'm going to stop right there. But next week, I'm going to look at this thing and try to wrap it up on this tongues and a sign. Why did the Jews require a sign? And I'm going to show you some verses in the Old Testament that God set it up that way. Those Jews, they have to see something. What do we live by today? We live by faith. If a Jew was to walk in that door right now and I got up and preached, he just got to believe by faith that Christ was the Messiah. He has to believe by faith that he died on the cross for his sins. And that if he's accept Jesus Christ, then he'll go to heaven. If he doesn't, he's going to burn in hell. And he has to believe that by faith. I mean, there's not going to be any speaking in tongues. There's not going to be any craziness going on. And that's just the fact of that. He has to believe the same way we do. And if you want to take that part and move it out of the equation, which you don't need to because it's Bible, but you say, all right, well, maybe tongues are for today. Because there's some people you're just not going to convince. Well, the Bible's very clear on how it's supposed to be done and what it's for. In every church I've ever been in that I've seen it done, usually a woman's the first one to do it. And you got it right there on the paper if you want to go look up the verses. Acts 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35, the Bible says that women were not allowed to do it. Usually that's the first one to do it. Number two, there were no Jews anywhere to be found in that place. And number three, there was no interpreter. And the ones I was in, there might be some that had other experience, been other places, and there might have been. But I've been in several services where that's happened. It freaks me out. It does. It spooks me. I don't want to be nowhere near it. Because I do believe there's a spirit involved with that stuff. And I know my Bible, and I know it's not the Holy Spirit. You don't think the devil might have a part to do in some of that? It scares me. I don't like being around it. The few times I have been, I try to find the door. There was one church I was in, a buddy of mine, before I got married, we were down in Florida, and a guy had just begged me, invited me to go to his church. I'll go, fine. So we were sitting in the Sunday school class, and we're sitting in there, and they're there, and usually every time this happens, there's some crazy music going on. I think the devil's in some of that music too, amen? There's some crazy music going on, there was a lot of emotion, there was people dancing up front, and next thing you know, this girl starts flopping all over the place and starts speaking in this crazy whatever. It was an unknown tongue. Nobody had a clue what she was saying. And there was no interpreter. Well, she falls out on the floor, and they start covering her with sheets. Well, then this youth pastor, amen, starts going through there, and he's hitting people in the forehead, and they're falling over. He'd walk down the next person and hit him in the forehead and fall over. Well, they're going down the line, and I see him coming. And he got up to me, and I said, if you put one hand on me, I'm going to punch your lights out. And he just skipped me and kept going. It freaked me out. I left. All these people flopping around everywhere. God's not the author of confusion. And you mean to tell me God's in something that you have to get a blanket and cover somebody up? Amen. If they were wearing a dress that, you know, covered half their body, you know, the rest of it, they probably wouldn't have to do that. But, you know, we're not getting on that. All right, so tongues in the Bible. God, there's a reason for it. They're not in effect today, but we're going to continue looking at it a little bit more just because I want everybody to see it. And again, I'm not trying to offend or upset anybody. I'm just teaching God's Word. Amen? And so let's all stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, God, and thank you for being merciful and gracious to us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your Word and the God, you've laid it out for us, God. We just have to believe by faith, believe the words on the page, God, and believe what you've given us, Father. And I pray, God, I do not want to offend or hurt or confuse anybody. But God, your word is clear, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to see it, Father. And Lord, you just give us strength, God. Thank you so much for it. I pray you bless the morning service. I pray that you show up, God, and be a part of it. I pray you touch the doors as they sing, Father, Lord. I pray you touch the preaching. Every aspect of the service, God, I pray that you're glorified and magnified and lifted up. And thank you so much for being our God and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.